continue the call. So I just had to turn the recording on. So we're recording this now. And congratulations on getting that offer accepted. Anybody else have anything good happen?
Hi, Cam. I'm just kind of goofing off today. I'm getting out of here in a little while anyway.
Somebody's on a speakerphone, and so we can hear you in the side conversation. So what you want to do if you're on a speakerphone and you want to half listen to the call or you're in a room where people are talking, you should hit *6 on your keypad, and that way you can, we won't hear anything that's happening in the background, okay? So, *6. If you hit *6 on your keypad, that will mute you, and we won't hear any side conversations, all right? So anybody else have anything good happen in the last 30 days?
Daryl, I took your seminar in Edison just like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, and I have my first listing because of it.
Awesome. Congratulations. Well, tell me what happened.
It was one of the phone calls that I made this is Debbie, by the way.
Hi,
it was one of the calls I made while I was in the set 3-day class with you, and
yes.
I had 5 appointments. One has already panned out. I've been on the market for 9 days.
Awesome.
And the others I'm still working on.
Okay, good. Very good. Now, Debbie, and for those of you who don't know, although I know we have a lot of Jersey on the call and Long Island, we just completed my 3-day Sure Results course where you guys prospect and all physicals and all that good stuff. So, now, Debbie, here's a big question, though. So you got 5 appointments during the 3 days. You got 1 listing, and hopefully that sells, and then you probably got, 10 times back on your tuition. But here's my question. Are you still calling FSBOs?
I am. I will be honest. I kind of dropped the ball because I was so crazy doing stuff for the listing, and I shouldn't have. So just yesterday I sat down, and I wouldn't leave the office until I made my committed amount of calls because I need to get back to that.
Very good, Debbie. That's what I wanted to hear. Okay. So how did you do with your calls? How many calls did you make, conversations you had, and any appointments?
I had made 6 calls that I got through. I made others that I left messages. One person, the one that talked to me the most, after a half hour of telling me, like, his life story, and, I kept trying to find out where his commitment was, he finally fessed up that he actually does have it exclusive with an agent, but it's kind of this hidden that nobody knows about. So
okay.
We just talked about that, and I helped him, say, even if you don't list with me, you need to get it out there that you're on the market. So, that's where we left that call yesterday.
Okay, good job, good job. And the message that you're leaving, and this is important, everybody, the message you're leaving on voicemails, what are you saying?
Saying, that I had a real estate question, would you call me? I have a question about your house. Would you call me back?
Okay. Now, the is that what you're saying, or are you trying to remember what is in the manual that you have?
I'm trying to remember that because I read the manual.
Okay, good. All right, because that's not what the manual says. All
right,
so I want to make sure that. Okay. And by the way, for those of you that haven't attended Sure Results, we're going to be talking about FSBOs today. And the dialogue you should leave when you call a for sale by owner is this. Hi, this is Daryl Davis. Don't say Daryl Davis. Say your name. but hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. I noticed your ad in the paper that you're selling your house. I have some important information about that. Plus, I could even have somebody for it. Could you please give me a call so I can share this with you? And so that's the dialogue. And there's something really good about that dialogue. It's very ambiguous. You're not saying you definitely have somebody for the house. You may have somebody for the house. You say you have important information. They may want to find out what that important information is. So it's really great dialogue, and we see that agents get calls back from FSBOs using that exact dialogue. The question that people ask me is, what is the important information you have? Well, the important information is going to be your conversation with them, and I'm going to go over that dialogue again today too. So we'll get into that a little bit more. I'm just not ready to do that yet. Okay, Good job, Debbie. And you want to make sure that you keep to the schedule and a commitment to making those calls. You know, we always seem to find the things that will distract us from doing that most important thing, which is prospecting. So whatever you need to do, Debbie, whether you schedule it in your daytimer, well, not your daytimer, but whatever scheduler thing you use, and you do that first, you pick certain days, certain times, do an accountability partner to have somebody hold you accountable, even go to the office together and call with another agent just so you're supporting each other, okay? Okay, Deb?
Yes.
All right.
Sounds great.
So, all right, good. Good job, though. Great job. Congratulations on that listing. Anybody else have anything good happen in the last 30 days? Okay, so the rest of us are just sucking wind. Okay, good. I'm glad we're on this call then. Now, here's a, normally for those of you that this is your first call, let me tell you what we like to do is on the Power Program website every month we put up a digital magazine. And that magazine is usually about anywhere from 40 to 60 pages. And in that magazine we have checklists and forms and diagrams and stuff like that. Now, unfortunately, this month we had a technical problem, and this is the first time that this ever happened where we haven't had the magazine created for you before the call. So this call is going to be different from what normally happens. What normally happens is I'll go through the magazine, I'll teach some other material, and then and we also do coaching if anybody has questions. So we're going to be foregoing the magazine this call. Although I'm still going to post the magazine for you, it'll be up by Monday. So that means there'll be more time for us, for me to give you some teaching material, but more importantly, some coaching. Now, whenever I do this call, I'm amazed at how many people do not voice up and ask me a question. It's like you're all being voyeurs listening to me do this call. But this is an opportunity for you to get some one-on-one coaching from me with other people listening in, and the value there is that the problem or challenge that you may be having, somebody else may be having this month or may have in the next few days or something. So it's a definitely a learning experience for everybody. So before I get into teaching any material, I want to really make sure that we focus on any material that I would give you is not going to have the impact as me giving you material specific to what you need, you know, the challenges that you're having right now. So I'm going to really pause this call now and ask you, what challenge are you having right now in your business or even your personal life that you would like me to address? So don't be a voyeur, participate now. Now, for those of you that have muted yourself, if you want to ask me a question, you can unmute yourself by hitting *6 again. When you do that, it's a toggle. It'll go back and forth from muting. So with that said, I'm going to open it up to you guys. What challenge are you having right now? Some concern that you might have in your business, whether it's personal or business-wise. So who wants to go first?
I have one.
Yeah, please. Now, by the way, say your name and where you're from. It sounds like you, Debbie, yeah?
It is me again. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize because, you know, you're going to get more value now. So go ahead, Mom.
So my agency in Westfield, we just opened our doors silently in January. We're actually having a ribbon-cutting ceremony tomorrow in town.
Okay.
And
right.
In my town, there's a competitive agency that's been here well over 30 years, is really entrenched in this town.
Okay.
So two listing appointments that I've been on in the last 2 months, actually three, I lost because it came down to between me and this one other agency. And I blew out all the other agencies, but it's just me and them, and I've lost it all three times. And the reason they said is they loved me, they liked what I had to say, but the other agency has more buyers.
Okay. All right. So, great question. And there's several answers to this. Now, by the way, you see, now just because Debbie asked that question, you should listen actively, not passively. Passively is you're being distracted by something else, or you think because it wasn't your question, it's not important to you. But if you listen actively, you'll still hear value for yourself in this answer, because this question that Debbie's asking is really, if you don't have the exact same situation, the answer, though, can still apply to other things. And this is partly how to improve on a listing appointment, okay? So, Deb, the first thing I got to tell you is that what you need to do is look at that competition, that company, their strengths and weaknesses. So you need to do a little you probably know what their strengths are already. So what you want to do is really look at what is their weaknesses. Have you done any research on this company?
Yes, and I know their weaknesses.
What are their weaknesses?
Well, we have a higher original list price to sale price ratio. Ours is like consistently 97% or higher, and theirs, they're lucky if they're 95%. They also use.
Hold on, Debbie, hold on a minute, because I want each one you say. I may have a suggestion. Or okay, now do you have that what you just said in a graph format?
No.
Now, that's very important. Here's why. And see, gang, this answer I'm giving you now is not specific to Debbie. You all will get value from this. When you say something, never tell somebody something that you can show them. When you show it versus just telling it, it has a lot more credibility and power. So, Debbie, if you had a graph that showed 97%, 95%. It's going to look more scientific. It's going to look more factual. And I will tell you something else, and this is a big thing what I'm about to say. Never, never round off percentages, even when you're speaking, but especially in a graph. When you show, let's say, Debbie, that your list price to sales price percentage is 97.32. Well, when you say 97.32, you're actually saying subliminally that I actually did the scientific research on it. This is not a gut feeling. This is factual. Now, when you put it in a graph, that's even more so. When people see things in print, it has more credibility. Okay? So, next thing, give me some more. Did that help you so far?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was huge. All right, now give me the question.
You know, the other thing is, this is probably the biggest problem I'm doing. I don't bring it up in the listing presentation. I just focus on me and the seller. I never ask, you know, even when they tell me they're going to be interviewing another company, I never ask who it is. I feel like I have all these reasons in my head why I shouldn't do that. So I try to stay away from, like, comparing myself to the other companies. I've just been showing them how I can get them to where they want to go and get them the most money and that stuff.
Yeah, so you definitely want to ask and find out who they're going to be interviewing.
Okay.
Now, Debbie, are you an agent there, or this is your company?
No, I'm an agent. I'm just an agent.
Okay. You're not just an agent. Without you, there would be no company. All right, so you know, because every agent makes the company, right? So what was I going to ask you? Oh, do you have any recruiting letters from other companies that they've sent you letters trying to recruit you?
I don't have a letter, but one of the companies in the town that I used to work for for part-time, they actually wanted me to stay and be a manager and trainer for them.
Okay.
But it's in an email.
It's in an email. Well, that's good. You should use that, because print that out. Everybody, if you ever get anything in print from another company, they send you an email saying that they would like to meet with you for lunch even. You know, we'd like to share some. Whatever, if there's anything that can allude to that another company wants you and you have it in print, whether it's email, whether it's a letter, print it out and use it in your listing book. Because when you're on that listing appointment, if the company that they're thinking about interviewing is one of those people, you can show them, look, these people actually wanted me to stay and be a manager, but the reason why I changed is because I knew that this would be a better company than I'm currently with to help my sellers get their property sold. And that one thing right there will blow the other company away, okay?
Okay.
So do that. All right, tell me about this other company, other weaknesses that they have. So their list price to sales price is not good. Go on.
My office, we have another office in Summit, New Jersey, and that office is the number one agency in the Garden State MLS for sales volume. There's not one agency in any part of New Jersey that beats us. So
okay.
We even beat this agency that's in this town.
Okay.
Telling everybody is that that's not Westfield, you know, listings.
Okay, because so their rebuttal to that is that other office that's number one in sales volume. Wow, this is good. What I'm about to say, that the office that's number one in sales volume. I got to ask you a question: is that sales volume in just that area, or it's just sales volume that comes from that office?
Just sales volume that comes from that office, where it's all, you know, it even includes part of this town.
Exactly. So if an agent from that office sells something in your other market, that office gets the credit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All right. So that needs to be communicated. But there's something more powerful than that. First of all, you want to graph that out too somehow. Whether it's a pie chart, whether it's a bar graph, you need to put that into a scientific graph, okay? Now,
okay.
Here's what I would say with this competing office. When I'm talking to a homeowner. You say the reason why you should care about that is because that other town that our office is in actually generates buyers for this town. That's why we opened up the second office here. See, let me explain. And let me ask you a question before I can use this technique, Debbie. Is the pricing of how far are the towns away, the areas?
10 minutes.
Okay, not far at all. Is the number one office a higher average sales price or a lower average sales price from yours?
It's basically the same. If it was in the exact town, like that town where it's placed, it would be a higher, but because we do volume in all surrounding towns, it's the same.
Okay. All right. So here's what I would say. I would say that number one office is where that town is like our sister town, meaning that there are buyers that come in. First of all, the buyers that any office will generate will be when they advertise, you know, in the newspaper or something. Buyers look based on town. That's number one. So this office, this competing office, is not going to be getting any more buyers on your house than I would because it's the same advertisement. So we're going to get the same number of buyers for your house as they're going to. That's number one. But we're actually, in the bigger picture, we're going to get more just because they say that they do more sales volume right in this backyard here. That doesn't equate to more buyers. In our case, we actually do generate more buyers because that number one office in Bublau Town that we have, they have buyers coming into that town that may not necessarily be looking in this town, and we springboard them to this town if they don't find something in that town. So technically, by you listing with us, you're actually getting more town coverage. You're getting more buyers coming in, potential buyers for your property, because we have not one but two offices. Does that make sense, Debbie?
Absolutely.
Okay. The third thing I would do is also graph out their average days on market compared to yours. Now, by the way, gang, any one of you can be a number one in any category and be honest about it, meaning that if you look at the last 3 months, your average days in market for your company may be worse than another company's. But if you look at the last 6 months, okay, maybe those numbers would change that where you now are better than the other company. So you've got to, you know, it's not fudging the numbers. They're honest because you're going to put in the graph this represents from this date to this date. So, Deb, I would look at also their average days on market. And a third thing, so let's just recap. You already know what their list price to sales price ratio is. So let's look at their average days on market to yours. And there's another really important stat to look at, which is usually the highest on bigger companies. And that number is the average expired to listings. Like, how many listings did they get and how many actually expired and didn't sell through them? And big listing companies, that percentage is almost always higher than a smaller office, which will work it to your benefit, okay?
Okay.
And the last thing I would say, Debbie, is this, is that if, don't forget, we always want to use analogies and metaphors whenever possible. So when if you are going to hire any other professional, whether it's a doctor, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's an accountant, no matter what firm they're with, would you agree that it's the individual person that you're working with that's going to make the impact in that category? Meaning if you are looking for an accountant, and let's say they're in a big firm and a very successful firm, is it possible that that accountant you're working with, an individual accountant, may not be as competent as another accountant that's maybe a mom-and-pop accounting firm? And the answer, of course, would be yes. So the company is not what you're listing with. It's the individual agent. And if you feel good – now, by the way, gang, obviously you can argue this. If you are a number one company, you would say you're not listing with an agent. You're listing with the company because you have the power of the company behind you. So there's always a counterpoint to every objection handling technique. But in your case, Debbie, you would do it the other way. You'd say, regardless of what that office is doing, and regardless, even though that my company actually is bigger because we have two offices and we have, if you combine all the sales and if you look at what we're doing, we outdo them. So we are number one over that company. But forget that. You're not really listing with the company. You're listing with the individual agent, which is me. Because someone that's going to be day in, day out, think and sleep and drink in your property and how to get it sold. Because it's the individual agent that's going to get paid when the job is done. So, all right, did this help you, Deb?
Perfect, yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. Okay, somebody else, do you have what challenge or a problem or concern or whatever it might be that you're having, either in your business, personal life? Yeah, I hear somebody. Or they were just talking to somebody else. Does anybody have anything? Come on, gang. There's a lot of you on the call. You're being voyeurs. Did somebody just unmute
Sarah?
Themselves?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Yes,
hello?
I'm here.
Okay,
yes,
sorry about that. Hi, it's Caroline. Hi.
Caroline. Hi, Caroline.
How are you? Okay, good, thanks.
Where are you from, Caroline?
Oh, yeah, Charles Rottenberg out here in Nassau County.
Okay, Caroline, go ahead.
Oh. Great. Okay, I have a client listing, actually, who, let's see, he's living out in Florida, and the listing is here in Nassau County, and unfortunately, he is way overpriced from this listing I took over from my coworker that was sick, and she asked me to take over. I mean, now I know why she's sick, because this listing has been truly something that has been horrendous the last couple of the couple of months that I've been trying to help her. We're chasing the market is where it's at right now. And even though I have sent him new comps, I've sent him even, you know, the whole thing about appraisals and what banks do, he is so uncooperative that he says, no, if it doesn't sell, it just doesn't matter. I'm keeping it at that price. So, you know, he wants us to do open houses, which we're not doing anymore because it just doesn't pay. That being said, is it worth it to just, like, forget this listing and just withdraw him? You know, it's like it's not worth it to me anymore, you know.
Yeah, Carolyn, listen, this is an easy answer, okay?
Okay, I have to hear it from you.
And sometimes we don't want to admit it. I think for some of us, when we don't have a lot of listings, and I don't know if that's true about you, Caroline, or not, but I do know when an agent doesn't have a lot of listings, they're really, really reluctant to let go of what they do have. But what we have to all keep in mind is that not only do we not make money if a house doesn't sell, but we actually are losing money. We're losing money because we're spending our whatever it costs to promote that listing, even if it's mailings or open houses, whatever. You know, so there's that cost. But the more important thing is the emotional and physical drain that listing generates. You know, just you having to deal with that person, and if you didn't have to deal with, you know, what does that do to your day, you know, when you got to talk to this person? It doesn't put you in a good frame of mind to keep working. So, what you need to do, and he's already told you what to do. when he said, we don't care, we're keeping it at this price, and if it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell, here's what he told you. I'm committed to price, not moving. And what we have to remember what we do for as agents is we help people sell their house, but we can't be more committed to them selling than they are. And this guy is not, you're more committed than he is up until this point. So what I would do is I would have a conversation. Now, by the way, sometimes homeowners say that, and that's not true. They're lying to us. They do want to sell. And they're, like, negotiating with us, thinking by saying that, that that's going to make us work harder or something, some weird thing. So so how do you know if he's committed to selling versus what he said price? Let me ask you, where is he moving to?
Well, that's the thing. He's already in Florida in a second house that he had for many years, and his children are living in the house, you know, until it sells. So,
and where are the children going to go in from?
They're going to rent the house somewhere.
Yeah, so, you know, it doesn't – I'm going to guess that he's not committed to selling because actually what that's going to mean is displacing his children. Now, what you may want to do is have that conversation with him. Have a conversation about, you know, how does he feel about his children staying in the house? Are they taking care of the house? You know, if the house does sell, are you concerned about that? So so you may want to, and sometimes when people are, they may not be committed, but you can get them committed, meaning that if you start to discover in talking to him that the kids are maybe not taking care of the property the right way, or maybe he feels that he's making the kids more dependent on him and he would like them to become more independent and get out on their own, you know, take away the safety net. So if you kind of have those conversations, then you may move him to being more committed to selling versus price.
Yeah, I'll try that. Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, so have a conversation about commitment and see if you can inspire him to be more committed. And if you can't get that, then I would just give him a withdrawal.
Okay, that's great.
I'd always do conditional withdrawals that – you know, that they're not going to go list with somebody else at the same price or something. Yeah, something like that. Anyway.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Very, very, very much. Yes, sir.
Daryl, this is Ivan. How are you? Gutierrez.
Ivan, how are you? But tell everybody where you're from.
South Brunswick and New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Okay, great.
Okay. To chime in, and it's not about me, just wanted to chime in on what you were telling her. Without saying where it is to divulge the property and all that stuff, it's client similar. They're living in Georgia. The property is here. It's an investment property. They're actually being controlled a little bit too much by their tenants. So the tenants are being difficult. So long story short, the seller got angry, said, you know what, I don't want to sell my house anymore. I'm just going to take it off the market and be done with it. Because every time we call 3 days in advance, 5 days in advance. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I did send because, you know, like you said, sometimes you get tired. You got to divorce them. You got to fire them as a client. So I did. I sent a conditional. With a protection clause, even. I sent it to the person, and then the character changed and the conversation changed, and she called back. I didn't even answer the phone because I was tired of her stuff. And she said, I don't understand why I'm getting this. I said, well, remember when you said you were done, you were tired, you were not doing it anymore? Well, yeah, I know, but that was just me voicing out my anger or my stress.
Yeah.
Ever since then, she has been a lot better client.
Good. Awesome.
Okay.
That's great.
It's almost like when a buyer loses a property, you want them to possibly lose that first one because they become more motivated.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Very good point. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? And by the way, let's use this as for me to teach another concept that's very, very important when it comes to negotiating, which what you just said, Ivan, is in that same realm, is that as you start to negotiate offers, if the buyers and or sellers start to feel that you are more committed to putting the deal together than they are, like as more the more the monkey comes on your back, the less it's on theirs. And
right.
So then they become less committed to making the deal work because they see the agent is coming from a fear of loss, and that's losing a potential commission.
Correct.
So, yeah, so when you take this attitude, it's like, you know what? I'm not going to be more committed to this transaction. I'm not going to be more committed to this house selling than you are. And so if you're telling me you're not committed, then we'll let the deal fall. We'll let the listing take it off the market. All of a sudden, it changes because now you just put the monkey on their back. So there's another negotiating technique, too. You do not want to show anxiety or desperation when you're putting deals together. Okay. Thank you, Ivan. That was great. Anybody else have something that you need coaching on?
So hey, Daryl, it's Janet.
Janet, from where?
Hey, in Atlanta.
Hi, Janet. How are you?
I'm good. How was your walk-a-thon or run-a-thon for the lymphoma?
Thank you. It's interesting because some of you, what you did is when I sent out that email or post, people didn't read it fully. Well, a lot of people did that. They just saw that I was asking to help, and they just naturally assumed it was me. But if the email I know that I sent out, I didn't run, and it's for somebody else, another group of realtors on Long Island that are raising money, and I can't run anymore because I have degenerative arthritis in my knees, which I found out recently. So my way of helping raise money, if I'm not running, but I see some realtors running, and I wanted to support their cause. But I really thank you for asking, and that run is happening this Sunday. So it's a half marathon in New York City, yeah. And the realtors, they've exceeded their goal. So I thank everybody that helps support that. So thanks for asking.
Okay, good.
Thank
I have
you.
A question.
Yeah, sure.
I do have a question. I have been in the real estate business a long time with RE/MAX, and I do a lot of expired listings in Atlanta area.
Okay.
But how do you break into the more expensive market in an area where you, like the first lady talked about, you know, a company sort of took everything in the upper end?
Yeah.
How do you compete against those traditional companies that are known for, quote, unquote, you know, million-dollar homes?
Uh-huh.
On expired listings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those right now.
Okay, good. First of all, some of my advice is going to be similar to what I said to Debbie, and that is you need to look at those companies and find their weaknesses. Days on market, list price to sales price ratio, expired versus listed, and graph those things out. Use the percentages. Don't round it off. So I think that's the first thing you should do. If you also are finding that you're competing against a top agent in that area, you would do the same thing. Look at that agent's individual stats and do the same exact thing that you would do for an office. The other thing I would say is that, if you don't have a track record, because no matter what you do as far as the stats are concerned, the homeowner is still going to look at, yeah, but you're not, you don't have million-dollar listings. So even if you show the weakness of that other company, which, by the way, gang, don't misunderstand me. I don't think you should ever go in bashing any company. But if the homeowner brings it up or you know that it's potentially they're going to interview that company, then, yes, you should compare the stats between you and them, okay? But they may still say to you that, regardless of what their stats is, the other company or the other agent, you still don't have million-dollar listings, or your office doesn't have million-dollar listings. The only thing I can say to that is that two things. Number one is I would stress your personality and have them list with you personally. The more that they trust you, the easier, and that you're going to work and give your all, they're going to – I just thought of something. They're going to – that's going to be important. The other thing, the thing that I just thought of, is that when you're talking to this million-dollar listing, I would find out, you should know what they do for a living. And the best analogies and metaphors, and I think everybody on this call knows on how I push using metaphors and analogies whenever you possibly can. And the best metaphors and analogies to use are the ones that you use the homeowner's own profession as an example to the point that you're trying to make, because then it's really hard for them to argue your objection handling technique when you do that. They're the best. So let's say, I'm sorry, what's your name again? I just drew a blank.
Janet.
Janet, I'm sorry, Janet. I apologize for that. Janet, so if you're talking to somebody that lives in this $1 million thing and you can find, when you ask them about where do they work or what their background is, you know, like most likely they weren't born wealthy, you know, or maybe they were, whatever. But the point is that when they were starting in their life and they had their first job and their second job and they became a president or they created their own company, and somewhere in there, Janet, you would ask them, see if you can find where they gave a break to somebody, an employee, somebody they hired, and that person excelled and became their partner. Or better yet, did anybody ever give them a break when they were starting in their life and their career? And what did they do with that? And if that homeowner had gotten a break somewhere in their professional life, and because of that they've now become wealthy, then I would turn to them and say, well, I'm asking you to return that favor and give me a break.
Cool.
And that'd be a very powerful close, Janet. Very
good.
Powerful close.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Somebody else? Anything you need help with, challenge, whatever? Come on, you sure? Okay. Well, then let me give you some more of this stuff here. That was a great question, Janet. All right, so, gang, here's what I wanted to talk to you, and especially if you guys have just come from the Sure Results in Jersey and Long Island, I want to review with you. Oh, by the way, Janet, I'm going to be coming to Atlanta, within the next couple of months, okay?
Oh, wonderful.
So I'll let you know about that, okay? You'll be on our list. So, all right, now, gang, what I want to do is review the building listing inventory, getting FSBOs and expireds, because if you don't have a good listing inventory, that's really important. You need to have that be a focus for you, okay? So I'm not going to talk about why listing inventory is important. Let's just get right to the meat and potatoes, and that's the dialogue. So I want to go over the dialogue with you, and maybe we'll role play, and people can ask me questions. Those of you that have attended a class recently, Are you finding any challenges with you calling FSBOs and expireds that you want me to address specifically? Like you're not getting in the door, they're giving you objections, or when you're going on the appointment. So anybody that's been working FSBOs and expireds recently, are you having any challenges? No, you're just not doing them. Is that right? Okay. All right. So here's what I want you to do. First of all, what you need to do is, we all know that listings are the name of the game, so you have to commit to getting more listings for your business. As I've said before, if you were selling something else like shoes for a living and you didn't have any shoes in your shoe store, you're out of business. In our business, our inventory is our listings. And so the first thing I want to say to you is you definitely need to schedule some time when you're going to be making these calls. You need to commit to that schedule, otherwise you'll always get distracted. The second most important thing is that to understand and remember that there's three phases to mastering FSBOs and expireds. The final phase, where you want to end up, is getting the listing. The phase before that is getting the appointment. Now, when you make the phone calls, getting the appointment is a different skill set than getting the listing. I've heard agents who say, Daryl, if I can just get in front of the people, I'm going to get the listing. But I'm having a problem in actually getting in the door. So there's an example that you have an agent who has the skill set face-to-face to be able to get a listing, but the skill set of making the appointment on the telephone is a totally different skill set. And I've heard agents do the opposite. You know, they say, yeah, I can get in the door, but when I get face-to-face, I'm not getting the listing. Again, different skill set. So those are the last two phases, but there's one phase before that, and that's just making the call. Some of us don't make the calls because we don't have fear. Fear has us. We are just have such a fear of calling these complete strangers. They're going to hang up on us the whole nine yards. For you, if that's where you are, the skill set is not is simply this one thing. And the skill set for phase one is not letting fear control you and stop you anymore. Therefore, it's not about you getting the appointment. It's about you getting past the fear and making the call. Any of you that are concerned, worried, fearful of making phone calls, for you, don't worry about getting the appointment. Just get into the ritual of making those calls. By the way, if you have any questions while I'm doing this, please interrupt me, okay, and just ask me. Now, the second thing that I want to talk about this is that because I'm here in New Orleans right now doing this call because I'm here at the ERA International Business Conference is what they call it, IBC. And so I did my keynote seminar on smiling today and yesterday and also Mastering Principles and Expired. So I said something in this. What was my point in sharing that? My point was because in my seminar here, I said something that I never have said before and I want to share with you guys, is that some of the reasons why also people are afraid to schedule listing appointments at FSBOs and Expired is because they don't have a really strong listing presentation, which you all know I call listing conversation. They don't have something put together strong, so it's almost like a catch-22. If you get the appointment, it's like, well, I'm not prepared to say anything. I don't know how to do the appointment. So that's going to prevent you from wanting to schedule listing appointments with FSBOs and Expireds. So if that applies to you, you know, the first thing you need to do, and you need to do it like immediately, like in the next 7 days, is you need to put together a listing appointment you feel really good about. Now, I'm not going to take the time on this call to say how to put a listing conversation together, but I will give you real quick as a review for some of you. The first section should be about you. Second section should be about your company. So you're breaking it up into sections. First you, then your company, then your marketing plan. In there, you do want to talk about the state of the economy, the market, how things have changed, how it's still harder to get properties sold, so homeowners need to be aggressive in their pricing. So let me rephrase that. Let's redo that. It's actually four. Debbie, is that you that keeps clearing your throat?
No.
Debbie?
Okay. No, it's not me.
Okay, good. Someone keeps clearing their throat.
I know. Someone's having a hard time breathing.
Yeah, it sounds like they're heavy breathing, which I don't think I've said anything that would give anybody a reason for heavy breathing yet. So, all right. For those of you that don't realize, these conference calls, the phones are more sensitive than what you're used to. So even the slightest little thing you do, it sounds really loud to the rest of us. Okay, so let me change that. The listing conversation should be in four sections. The first section is you, something about you and your credibility. The second section would be your company, you know, the bigness, how long it's been around, stats. The third section should be the state of the economy, the real estate industry, what's happening in the industry that impacts that homeowner. That third section should basically put the fear of God into them. And then, which is actually a good segue to your fourth section, which is your marketing plan. Because I almost would say, you know, because of what I just shared with you about average days on market, what's happening with, you know, mortgages and what's happening with how the unemployment rate is impacting the buyers and foreclosures are impacting sellers. My company, we've really customized our marketing plan for our clients based on this new market, because this is a new market compared to what we've seen years ago. And so let me share with you, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, our seller success system that we have to help get your property sold in today's challenging market. So it's a great segue, section three, to Section 4. Does anybody have any questions about that? And the reason why that's really powerful is because that that you putting the fear in them really helps move the FSBO from, you know, being a FSBO to listing with an agency. Now, by the way, for those of you, I'm just thinking about something. I showed the slide yesterday also about the president and CEO of ForSaleByOwner.com, where he couldn't successfully sell his own property, and after 6 months he wound up listing with a real estate broker in Manhattan. That slide or that visual is on your website, thepowerprogram.com, and you have to be logged in to get that visual. So you all should be using that when you're on listing appointments. Okay, it's under classroom, and it might be under bonus material, I think, when you after you've logged in. There's something else I want to say, and I think this is really important. You know, I always say FSBOs, but, you know, the expireds are, you know, for those of you that are afraid to call them the FSBOs and stuff, I mean, everything I said is true, that you shouldn't have fear. It's okay to have fear, but don't let fear have you. But with expireds are actually much easier. There's a you know, the more I think about it as I teach, you know, I teach the FSBOs ensure results, and I focus on that because that is that's where the biggest breakthrough is for people, because that's the biggest fear. And so if the thing that you're most afraid of, if I can get you through that, then you had the biggest breakthrough. It makes everything else easy. But with that said, FSBOs is awesome. I mean, expireds are awesome, and here's why. I'll go through a couple of reasons and why some of you should really pick up the steam on expireds. Number one is they're not as hard as FSBOs when you first make that phone call. You're not the first one. The homeowners that are calling them, the homeowners know the deal. They understand it, you know. They see the value in realtor because they listed with an agent. A lot of agents might think that, well, they're more upset with us. That's not true. Are some of them upset with us because it didn't work out? Yes. But the majority of them, they still see the value and concept of working with a realtor. So therefore, that initial phone call is a lot easier. Number two is, it's just easier to find the expireds. I mean, you just go to MLS and, you know, print out 30 days of expireds and rock and roll. The third thing is studies show that almost always when an expired comes back on the market with a new agent, almost always it's at a lower price, more aggressive price, and therefore it sells. So I like to equate expireds are like fruit. You know, when the best time to eat fruit is just when it's ripe. And expireds are ripe to sell. So I really think you guys should focus on that. Let's go through that dialogue, because I do know in True Results, I actually don't teach that dialogue, even though it's in the book and it's pretty self-explanatory. But let's just take a minute to go through that. So, Debbie, are you still on the call?
I am, and I actually call expireds more, so this is perfect.
All right, super. So let's role play, okay? Do you mind?
Sure.
So you be the expired. I'll be the agent. Ring, ring.
Hello?
Yes, hi. Is this Debbie?
It is.
So, you know, I would use your last name, Debbie, but I don't know what it is. So is this Debbie?
It is.
Well, hi, Debbie. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you?
Good.
Good. The reason why I was calling, Debbie, is I noticed your house expired off the multiple listing, and I was wondering if it's still for sale.
No, it's not.
Okay. Did you sell it?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. So it's not for, what happened? You decided not to sell?
Well, you know, we wanted to price, and the agent never brought any people through, and, you know, we killed ourselves for 6 months to have the house perfect, and nothing happened. So we're sick of
it. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're sick. You're just sick of the whole process.
Right.
Well, that's a shame, and I know how that must feel to go through that. It can be very, very hard for a seller on so many levels, and I'm looking at a copy of the listing, and I'm kind of surprised that it didn't sell. What do you think it was?
I don't know. I just think our agent didn't bring in enough people, or, you know, we think it should have sold right away.
Yeah. Well, where can I ask you, Debbie, where were you thinking of moving to?
Oh, we want to move to Florida.
You do? It's so much nicer there, isn't it? Just
yeah.
What part of Florida?
Miami.
Now, listen, so
Emily is down in Miami, so we want to go there.
All right, so Debbie, let's just stop the role play. So I don't need to continue this part. We're going to go to the end. We're going to jump to the end. But this part, gang, is really, really important when you're talking to an expired. And that's asking the questions about what their commitment was, where they were moving to. Now, let me say something that's a really powerful distinction. And now that I'm saying this, I think I should be teaching this in Sure Results more, because I'm now just talking through this with Debbie. I'm seeing there's a huge difference. When you're on the phone with FSBO, the questions you should be asking is not about where they're moving to, but about their current home. You're going to ask them where they're moving to, but you don't want to lead with that. So when you're calling a FSBO, you want to start asking questions about, well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad. It sounds really nice. 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. Is the basement, it has a full finished basement, or is it on a slab? Is it finished? So you want to ask about the house that they're selling. And then when you've kept them on the phone long enough and you've built some rapport, you'll have permission to start asking questions. Well, let me ask you, where are you folks thinking of moving to when you do sell your house? And then you'll start asking about their commitment to moving and where that is. But with an expired, you want to reverse that. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to ask about the house, because you should have every possible information that you would need on that MLS before you would see them. As a matter of fact, if you asked about any portions of the house, you're actually highlighting to that homeowner how you did not see the house when it was on MLS. And you don't want to have that be your focus. That will kill you. So it won't kill you. It would just be an objection you have to handle. So what you want to do, which is what I just started doing with Debbie, is I asked, I'm looking at a copy of the listing. I'm surprised it didn't sell. Why do you think that is? Now, you may know its price, but obviously you're not going to say that to this homeowner. But you do want to compliment them. You know, I'm looking at a copy of the listing, and it sounds like a really nice house. Why do you think it didn't sell? And then they'll say, I don't know. And Debbie said what she said. And then now the next question is, well, let me ask you, Debbie, when you did sell, where were you going to move to? Let me tell you why this is so crucial and so important. Because what happens with an expired, when they put their house on the market, and Debbie nailed it right on the head, even the homeowners go through a tremendous amount of anxiety keeping the house up. But here's the more important anxiety part for the homeowner. And I think a lot of us miss this, so I'm going to point it out to you. This is huge. This is probably the number one problem for an expired, that they open up their house to the general public, and every time somebody came through the house and did not make an offer, they just insulted that homeowner. They felt like they were rejected. That would be equivalent to a high school dance and a guy going up to a girl asking her to dance, and she shoots him down. And that happened every time a buyer came and they didn't get the property sold. So what happens is they get really discouraged. They lose their commitment to moving. By the way, somebody's moving something in the background. It's very loud, so just letting you know. So what happens is that when they first put their house on the market, who they are is their commitment to moving to Florida. What starts to happen during the six-month listing is they move from their commitment to their next level into the box of rejection, thoughts, feelings, and opinions. And what you need to do on that call is bring them back, or bring to the surface once again what their commitment was originally. So what I would be doing with Debbie right now is, she said she's moving from Florida, Miami. Why Miami? Do you have friends down there? What do you like best about Miami? What would be your ideal situation? And then here's now me scheduling the appointment. Debbie, let me ask something. If I can help you get to Miami with the monies you need to make the move a success, if we can make that happen in the next couple of months, is that something you'd be interested in?
Absolutely.
Deb, let's do this. My company has a program that's designed for people just like you, where they started with one agency and it didn't work out. I'm not saying I want to list the property, but let me come on over, take a look at the property again with you, or you know, let me take a look at the property. Let me share with you some of the things we do. Maybe we can make this thing happen. And Debbie would say, sure, or if she hems and haws, I say, hey, Debbie, you got nothing to lose, everything to gain. You know, it sounds like you were very excited about Miami. It doesn't hurt to explore that. And if I can help you, I want to help you get to Miami. And if I can't, I'll tell you that too. Fair enough?
Yes.
So that's the call. Did that help you, Debbie?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. All right, so listen, I'm going to end with a personal story, and then we'll end our call. My son, Michael Raymond, he called me last night. We speak every day when I'm on the road, of course. And so last night, Michael is frustrated that he is in lacrosse, which only started a week ago, and his coach has them run every day, Monday through Friday, at least 2 or 3 miles, some ridiculous thing. He's really getting the kids' endurance up. So Michael was really frustrated that he's doing all this running and he hasn't lost a ton of weight. So first of all, I pointed out to him, it's only been a week. And he started to laugh. My son's 15, for those of you who don't know. The second thing I said to him is that, Michael, if you don't want to try and lose weight because you're unhappy with your body, you should be happy with your body because that's the body you have. You know, you should, and you know, we do have, you know, we're religious based too. So I did talk about, you know, this is what God gave you, and if you don't appreciate what you have, you're actually disrespecting God. So don't insult him. This is what you got, and be happy with what you got. Now, on the same token, if you're committed to getting healthier now, that's a different story, but don't try and fix your weight because you think something's wrong with you. That's not a good place to come from. So be okay with what you got. Thank God for what you got. Now, if you're committed to health, let's talk about health. And so I had a conversation with him about eating correctly. Now, like any typical teenager, my son prefers, you know, pizza and chips and things like that. So I said to him that, but Michael, you're not really committed to this because we go through this every so often where you ask me what to do, but when I'm home and I want to make you dinner, then you give me such a nightmare of a conversation on how you don't like what I'm going to give you, and I'm trying to give you healthy. So I distinguish for my son, there's a difference between, you know, wanting to get healthier and being committed to it. See, I know you want to, but you're not committed. See, when you're committed, you do the things that you need to do even though you don't want to do it. So you need to be real clear, Michael, is this what you're committed to? If you are, I will help you. Because right now, Michael, you operate from your feelings. It feels good to eat junk food, and it doesn't feel good to eat healthy food. And I agree with you. I love junk food too. But if you're committed to being healthy, then we need to push past and not be our feelings. And this is a conversation I had with him last night, and he's very excited, blah, blah, blah. I say the same thing to all of you. In any aspect of your business, your personal life, if you want to have a breakthrough, you're probably going to have to do what you don't want to do. So, but if you're really committed to what you said you're committed to, you'll push past that. So be committed to whatever that is for you and get in action and be consistent with that. Okay, gang? So I hope this call, is this call useful for you? Yes? No?
Yes. Very.
Okay, good. All right, good. All right, gang, we recorded this call. It will be posted on the Power Program website. By Monday, and I'll have the magazine up for you by Monday. So have a powerful weekend, and don't forget to keep smiling. All right, gang, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you.